First, let's start with what we saw at Nissan Stadium yesterday. And immediately for me, I go back to 2001, a Tennessee Titans team 2 years removed from making the Super Bowl. They began 2001 losing their first three games. So they're 0-3, then win two to make it 2-3, then lose on the road to Pittsburgh to make it a record of 2-4. They beat Jacksonville, so for a 3-4 record. And then they were playing Baltimore on Monday night. Baltimore was leading 16-10. The Titans at the goal line. Steve McNair scores, and yet they said they had to do a do-over because Baltimore with an infringement. And when the do-over, they didn't score. The Titans lose that game. I bring it up because with that loss, they go along and they lose four more times. They finish 7-9. And the reason why, too, they go from instead of being 4-4, they go 3-5. They lose to two teams at the end, Cleveland and Cincinnati, not very good teams. Cleveland, they lose to Cleveland by 3 at home, to Cincinnati by 2 at home. But to me, that one play, the difference of 7-9 and 10-6, I bring it up because you could certainly, we don't know how this season is going to play out, but the fact that the Titans were 2-5, if they had lost that game yesterday, no chance. But now at 3-4, the opportunities, it's in their hands.
Yeah, I mean, you give yourself a shot. And first off, great memory bank by you. That's a good pull right there. Yeah, I mean, they won a game, you know, especially a game that both teams really needed to win. You know, you look at both teams coming in, they're both on two-game losing streaks. Both were shut out in those two games in the first half. So, you know, both teams were kind of similar. Top 10 defenses, and the Titans, you know, behind Ryan Tannehill and his 300-plus yards passing, you know, really get the job done. It was an amazing game. You've got to, you know, feel great if you're a Titans fan. And everybody that was there watching on TV, listening on the radio, whatever, it was just a monster win, you know. And I, not to be, you know, negative, you know, you wonder what could have happened if you made this call sooner, you know, against Buffalo and against Denver. But, you know, nothing you could do about it now. You give yourself a shot, and we'll see what they do this week against Tampa.
You mean what I was calling for back when they made this move anyway to add Ryan Tannehill to the roster?
Yeah. I mean, it's just you get frustrated because we could see something was wrong with Marcus, and you know, we're not going to harp on that. It was a good win. Good for them to get it, and you know, they can help themselves out a ton, you know, Sunday, taking care of our old buddy Jameis Winston there.
That's right. Hey, one of the other things that really stood out for me, and you could tell in the fourth quarter, I mean, first of all, the Titans defense had been on the field for a long time. I go back to, you know, in the first half, I mean, just the time of possession, the number of plays. I mean, like, for example, on the first drive, which ended with the Chargers going for it, not attempting a field goal, that was a long drive, and that went 9 plays. Well, then their next drive, they go 12 plays and settle for a field goal. And then when they score their touchdown in the second quarter, a 14-play drive there for 94 yards. But in the third quarter, the Titans defense allowed 2 total yards of offense to the Chargers. 1 first down, that was by penalty. That was it. And to me, that was the difference right there. I mean, sure, things could have gone a different direction late there in the fourth quarter. But the bottom line for me, the Titans put themselves in position to win with what they were able to do on defense, limiting the Chargers in that third quarter.
No, you're exactly right, you know, and, you know, you think about like a bend and don't break defense, they literally got down to a, you know, a half yard, a blade of grass, as a lot of players were saying. It's just an amazing game, and, you know, you wonder, you know, where this team can go now, you know, now that there's an offense. We saw that the offensive line looked much better, and I get that the Chargers had a lot of injuries, but you know what? You know, we saw a team that, you know, like the Broncos, you know, that came in and just wrecked house. But now that there's a passing threat, that, you know, the offense can do some things. How's it going to help Derrick Henry? And then, you know, the addition of Jeffrey Simmons on the defensive line. It's amazing what this defense has accomplished this year with really not much of a pass rush per se, right? Like, they don't have, you know, a large number of sacks. But if they can get after the quarterback, especially with, you know, the opportunity to play with a lead, this team could be really good, man. You just hate that. You know, these losses have kind of stacked up at the beginning of the year. But again, it's a long NFL season, and the AFC is going to kind of be a rock cutter you know, the rest of the way. So if they could, you know, just play good ball and keep doing what they did yesterday, they've got a shot.
Well, here's the thing. Phillip Rivers, I think, what, in his 16th season in the NFL, he's getting rid of the ball. So he's not going to give you many opportunities to sack him.
No, he's not. And amazing, by the way, it literally feels like since 2004, every single Chargers game comes down to the exact same thing. There's 2 minutes left. The Chargers are down by one score, and Rivers is driving the field. Like, I swear, that's every Chargers game that ever exists. It's just amazing how consistent that comes up.
Let's look at some of the other games yesterday that maybe caught your attention. First, for me, let's start with the performance from Aaron Rodgers. 5 touchdowns as far as passing, 429 yards. Did you see that coming? A 42-24 win over the Oakland Raiders. Remember, going into the weekend, Oakland, if the playoffs were, you know, being held this past weekend, Oakland would have been one of the 6 playoff teams from the AFC. Now they're just a 3-3 team.
It's incredible. You know, I mean, you talk about Aaron Rodgers right there. I mean, that was just, I mean, he's going off, you know, and you look at the Packers, you know, they're getting better each week. You know, it started the season, the first couple of weeks, they could score in the first half, really couldn't do much in the second half. And you look at their head coach, Matt LaFleur, rookie head coach, he's 6-1. And an interesting stat about Packers rookie head coaches, there's never been a head coach in his first year in the history of the Packers franchise, which dates back a long time, that's gone to the playoffs. And, I mean, there's a lot of season left, but starting 6-1, you give yourself a heck of a shot. So, you know, you just got to give props to them. And they're really doing it with a ton of injuries at the wide receiver position. If they could get some help or make a big trade for, you know, Emmanuel Sanders or A.J. Green, somebody like that, this team can be very, very dangerous.
Well, let's be fair here. We're not talking about, oh, my quarterback is not Ryan Fitzpatrick. It is Aaron Rodgers, all right? So it's a lot easier to accomplish that great fact that you just threw out there, knowing that Aaron Rodgers is taking the ball compared to a Ryan Fitzpatrick, for example.
Are you saying Ryan Fitzpatrick's not as good as Aaron Rodgers? Whoa, this is breaking news here, buddy.
He will so rip the hope out of your heart.
Yeah, he will, man.
He will throw three interceptions in the fourth quarter with a playoff spot on the line. That's the Ryan Fitzpatrick I have come to love and adore.
Johnny, I'm telling you, I was thinking about you yesterday when I was watching the Dolphins game, and they brought it to Buffalo, right? Like, they had a shot to win that game.
Attempted an onside kick, I mean,
yeah,
that all of a sudden went the other way for a touchdown, but they attempted one. I thought for sure they would just kick it away because, you know, they were tanking this year, but they tried to lose close yesterday. That was a pretty good effort.
They did, and the crazy part was right before that, they were facing a fourth down in the red zone. They fake a field goal, get it, convert the first down, next play, Ryan Fitzpatrick interception right in the end zone. I was like, Johnny would love this right here.
By the way, Miami-Cincinnati, that marquee game in December is still being set up nicely because both of those teams winless, but they can't remain that way. Well, I guess they can if they ended in a tie in December, but they've set up that matchup. Everybody's looking for, you know, a marquee one with two teams marching to the playoffs. No, I'm looking forward to seeing that one. Which of those two teams are going to get their first win of the season in December?
I know, right? If that game ends in a tie, oh, that'd be brutal. I just feel bad for, you know, really anybody that's going to even be at that game. I'd love to see what ticket prices are going to be. That's just awful.
We may have this may be a first-time thing, too, seeing the stats today, because I'm not sure if we've ever seen this before in the NFL. But right now, through 7 weeks of the season, both the Patriots and the Dolphins have played 6. The Patriots get their 7th game tonight, and they probably will add to this number. But if you look at top to bottom in division, the only two teams that are either 3 figures, 100-plus, more than their opponents through their first 6 contests, or 3 figures below that number, we have that in the AFC East. The Patriots have outscored their opponents by 142, 190-48, while the Miami Dolphins have been outscored by 148, the only two teams in the NFL that can brag about one or the other.
It's incredible. That's just an incredible stat right there.
And they also both, by the way, won 6 in a row. The other one has lost 6 in a row. So they're like mirror images of each other right there. All right, every time I'm trying to like, okay, I'm still not convinced about Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. I mean, here they are, three straight wins now, 5-2 on the season, two-game cushion over Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Eventually, you have to start buying into what he's doing.
Yeah, you do. I mean, the guy can play, you know, and this team is good. You know, it's the NFL, man. It's hard. It's week to week. You know, it's very hard to be, you know, it's hard to be the Patriots, which you're just talking about, right? It's just win. But, man, Lamar Jackson, he could do it, you know, and I think he has more rushing yards than I think six entire NFL teams, and he has more passing yards than 20 NFL teams, right? Like, they get the job done. This defense can play. The addition of Marcus Peters, obviously, he had a pick six of Russell Wilson's first interception on the season, and they're just doing it, man. Like, this is just a really good football team, and, you know, in a division where it doesn't look like Cleveland's picking it up. You know, Pittsburgh's playing a lot better, but they lost a ton, you know, to start with, and Cincinnati. So, yeah, man, like, Baltimore's just a team that you're just not going to want to face because it's tough. You know, when you have to add in a wrinkle of a quarterback that can get outside the pocket and not only run, but it's probably faster than every single person on your team, on your defense. I mean, the guy can go. So they're a dangerous threat, man.
I know you're a very level-headed individual, Alan Bell, and so I know you'll give me a strong answer on this one. Right now, if you look at the division leaders on the AFC side and the NFC side, I want to know which team you have the least amount of confidence in making a run in the playoffs. Right now, you can pick from New England, Baltimore, Indianapolis, and Kansas City, all division leaders in the AFC. On the NFC side of things, you've got Dallas, Green Bay, the Saints, and San Francisco, 6-0. Of those eight, which do you have the least amount of confidence in?
Well, that's a great question. I'm going to say one of each. AFC, Kansas City Chiefs, and not really for that division, but I just don't know how, you know, Mahomes is going to beat, you know, when he comes back. And there's a huge drop-off, you know, from him to Matt Moore and the rest of that team. In the NFC, I'll go with the Dallas Cowboys.
Really?
You know, just, yeah, and I'll say this.
See, I thought for sure you would go San Francisco.
No, San Francisco plays good ball, and it might not always be pretty, but they are, you know, they consistently show up. Dallas worries me just because they could play really well one week, like we saw last night against Philly, but they could go conservative in a hurry, and you just don't know which one you're going to get. I feel like I have a pretty good idea of what I'm getting out of San Fran, and Jimmy Garoppolo, honestly, is not even playing that well to begin with, and they're doing this. Dallas just... I just need to see it more consistently. They're a better – I think Dallas has a higher ceiling than San Francisco, but San Francisco is much more consistent.
The Saints are going to be facing a big question soon is the fact that Drew Brees is supposed to be clear to start practicing this week. The Saints, under the direction of backup Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, they're 6-1. And a nice performance again yesterday for the Saints on the road in Chicago. And here's Teddy Bridgewater, 281 passing yards, two touchdowns through the air. Do you let Teddy keep it? Or, I mean, it is still Drew Brees.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's Drew Brees, and we all know that that's his job. But I'll tell you this. You know what? You know what the Saints have given themselves with staying undefeated while Drew Brees was out? Now you're playing with house money. You can afford to lose a game. So I'm not going to pull Teddy. Like, as long as he's winning games, I'm not messing with him. Now, you leave yourself open, you know, if he were to run the table and you get to the playoffs, Brees is coming in. However, I'm a pretty simple guy when it comes to sports. If somebody's winning, I don't mess with it, right? Like, it's like a pitcher with a no-hitter. I'm not talking to you. I'm not going to pull you. I'm not doing anything. You just keep doing you. So I think the Saints, man, you just keep riding the kid. And if he's showing, then you know what? You just have extra time to make sure that Brees is healthy and good to go. I don't mess with the winning streak.
All right, besides the division leaders, I'm looking at teams above 500 to see if we're talking contenders or pretenders here. On the AFC side, you've got Buffalo, 5-1. You also have the Houston Texans, 4-3, half, you know, one game out in the loss column behind the Colts. On the NFC side, which, by the way, we have a very small number of teams we're discussing here about that. You got Minnesota 5-2. There's no discussion there. We know how good they are. Seattle, I mean, until their loss yesterday, Russell Wilson certainly is the guy that we think is a front runner for the MVP. Now you might have some discussions about another quarterback out there, but right now looking good as far as the Seahawks. But Carolina at 4-2, they won four straight. I mean, at what point do we go, hey, Kyle Allen may be for real?
Right now. I mean, the kid is good, and you know, the team responds to him. And I think kind of the same thing we talked about with New Orleans. You know, you just don't mess with a guy that's winning. Now it's a little bit different because, you know, they already tried to bring Cam Newton back once, and it was proved that he was hurt. So, you know, if they're trying to rush him back, which would be dumb, you just don't know, you know. So I'm not going to mess with it. Kyle Allen's playing well. The hard part is this, is that, you know, New Orleans isn't getting rid of Drew Brees. They're not getting rid of Teddy either, right? But Carolina, I don't know what Cam Newton's future looks like out there because, you know, again, I mean, he's a former MVP, went to a Super Bowl. Like, Cam Newton's Cam Newton. However, last year and a half, he hasn't looked good at all, and there's no guarantee that he's going to come back. So they got a tough decision to make out there. But I'll say this, what's going to help Kyle Allen is that, you know, you've got a head coach that's, you know, he's there, and, you know, he's not on a hot seat by any means, but Kyle Allen's keeping his job afloat. If this were, you know, if this would have gone bad, we'd be talking about, you know, their coach Ron Rivera being, you know, possibly out.
Oh, so, before this winning streak started, oh, you yeah. better believe that seat was getting hot there in Carolina.
Yeah, agreed. So, you know, I don't think that I think Rivera's hands are tied. You have to ride with the kid. You just have to.
All right, quickly, your thoughts about the AFC South, how it played out over the weekend, Jacksonville with no issues with Cincinnati, and then that a really solid game with Indianapolis and Houston, with Indianapolis taking care of business.
Yeah, you're right. You know, good win for Jacksonville. They certainly needed it. Tennessee, obviously, the same deal. And then the Colts and Texans, man. Like, those are two teams, like, you could tell that they're just consistently and better than the other two teams in the division. And I think, you know, it's going to be a race towards the end. They're almost going to be kind of identical towards the end of the year. I can't wait to see how this division folds out.
And then finally tonight, my Jets, a different team with Sam Darnold compared without Sam Darnold. And, you know, I like their chances to at least make this an intriguing game. They're 10-point underdogs at home to the New England Patriots. And, you know, with the Patriots and Jets, although the Jets have lost in recent years to the Patriots, they still make things interesting, even though they're usually outmanned as far as on the field. I think the Jets, with what they're putting on the field tonight, I think they got a chance. I'm actually taking the Jets plus the 10 tonight. I think this game is going to be a lot closer than a lot of Patriots fans and fans of the NFL expect.
Oh, definitely. You know, you look at the Patriots, and they're a very good football team. I'm not saying anything to the opposite of that, but they're banged up offensively. It could be a little ugly tonight. They're due for a loss at some point. They're not going to go undefeated. I'm not saying that they lose tonight. However, you know, if you're looking at, you know, gambling, you know, plus 10 for New York might be pretty good. In New York, if they play like they did against Dallas,